Before we pray, I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, the last verses from verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with a great, and he shall divide the spoil with a strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Up to here, this precious and holy word, which the Spirit of God spoke in advance through the mouth of the prophet, pointing to Christ. Here it is said that he laid down his life unto death and was numbered among the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgressors. This is our Lord and Savior who has done this, and let us now thank him from the bottom of our hearts by standing up and praying together. Lord our God, we thank you with all our hearts for the great privilege of coming to the throne of grace to give you thanks, to offer you worship. Lord, you have taken upon yourself our iniquity and sin. We did esteem you stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But all was done for our sake, because of me. Thank you, beloved Lord, that we were so precious in thine eyes, that you paid the highest price and came to us and redeemed us. We give you heartfelt thanks, O Lord. Bless us today. We consciously place ourselves under the power of the blood of the Lamb and ask you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, O God, and be gracious to us. Bless the dear sister who is in hospital, O Lord, who has commended herself to be prayed for. Also these handkerchiefs, which have been placed here to be taken to the sick, may you bless them, Lord, and be with those who will take them and carry them. Be thou with us now, and speak to us by thy word and by thy Spirit, and give grace that we may rightly understand. I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, You know, I'm very weary. I'm not going to be able to say much today. But I'm so grateful to the Lord for the grace that He has given. From one end of the country to the other, all the way to the border of Kashmir, so you could see the snow-capped Himalayan mountains. And there too, at the end of the world, so to speak, you see about 300 people sitting under a miserable tent that was erected very primitively. And the brother goes to the front and says, "Brother Frank, they have all come to the faith through your ministry." And I was frightened and thought, "Never have you been here in this place. What does the brother say?" And then he explained briefly, the three English booklets that we have published, they have done an incredible work in thousands and thousands of people, have paved the way and the understanding of what God has done through the ministry of Brother Branham in our day. If there are any here this afternoon who are not yet familiar with what God is doing now, what He's doing, and what He will continue to do, you will certainly be introduced shortly to what God has promised and what He is fulfilling. You know, when you are so close to these countries, Nepal, and then you can almost look over to China, and you even got the invitation to the capital of Nepal on this trip now to preach the Word of God there, and the doors are opening, then I know one thing, that God's Word, as it has been revealed, must be preached for a witness to all nations. And if some already think this and that must be done, I ask you, can God give the completion of the bride? Can He do the final and conclusive things before out of all peoples, tongues and nations the bride has been called out? I say, first the bride must be called out before God can finally reveal Himself supernaturally in her midst. And therefore it is necessary to go out into all the world and preach the precious Word of God. We can leave the rest to God. You all know, our Lord commissioned the apostles and His servants to preach His Word, the Gospel. But He never told Paul or Peter, "Build My church." He Himself says in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build My church." We preach His Word. We preach the Gospel. He Himself builds His church. He calls out. He saves. He forgives. He heals. He blesses. Everything comes from the Lord. And we are so grateful for that. In this context, I had to think of the word from Acts 22, when Paul described the experience he had, which gave him the strength to go out and to do the service of God. It says here in Acts 22, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? Isn't that a wonderful saying? What shall I do, Lord? I believe that is the attitude of a servant of God that comes to him with the hour of his divine calling. What wilt thou that I should do, Lord? A true servant of God does not draw up an agenda, but asks his Lord, who calls him, who commissions him, What do you want me to do, Lord? And as I read this, I must say, the same attitude, the same phrase could spring from my heart and from my mouth. What do you want me to do? Not what people want or what I want, but what do you want me to do, Lord? What is in your plan of salvation? What do you want me to do through me, Lord? The answer is, And the Lord said unto me, Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. There you will receive information about all that you are commanded to do. That is divine calling. That is a divine sending. That is a divine commission. There you will be told all that you are commanded to do. Oh, I desire from God a complete overview and insight into the divine doing in this time. What wilt thou have me to do? Go, it shall be told thee all that is ordained for thee to do. Thanks be to the Lord. Saul was struck by the bright light at midday. For us, who have heard the end-time message and believe it with all our hearts, the word that Brother Branham has so often quoted from the prophet Zechariah is true. At evening time there shall be light. And we live in the evening time of the day of salvation. That day has a beginning, and that day will have an end. At evening time, it has become light through the revelation of Jesus Christ and through the revelation of the prophetic word that we have received. We may believe this from our hearts and thank God for it. Now it goes on to say here, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. A voice, a divine call for a task in the kingdom of God. Not just a feeling in the heart or a desire that you can have, but a direct call from the Lord for a task in the kingdom of our God. And I believe that we have arrived at the time when we need to understand that God has sent his servants at all times to know his will, to reveal and proclaim this divine will. Paul could later write the epistles and say that all these things came to him by revelation. Here we are told, God has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Not a voice from the church or organization, but a divine call for a divine task in the kingdom of God at the beginning of the New Testament church. We believe that our beloved brother Branham heard such a divine call from the mouth of the Lord, and that God had ordained him to know his will and to carry out the commission for this time. Our task is to believe God and receive the word preached to us, so that the last promises may find their fulfillment. And we know that with such a divine call comes great responsibility. It then goes on to say, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. For thou shalt be his witness, not for thyself, but for the Lord, who called him and put him into the ministry. He should bear witness before all men of the things which thou hast seen and heard. These words remind us of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and also already of chapter 1. Write down what you have seen and what you have heard. And then what John saw and heard was written down and sent to the churches. Paul was told the same thing, to bear witness to all men of what he had seen and heard. True witnesses of Jesus Christ do not speak by hearsay, but they must have heard and seen for themselves, and then they can speak on behalf of God. They cannot say, "Yes, brother so-and-so told me such and such." No. A divine commission is to bear witness to what God has spoken, to what God has shown and revealed. And we believe with all our hearts that we are living at the end of the time of grace, and that God has sent His messenger and prophet to show Him, to reveal what He has to bear witness to. Jesus, our Lord, told His disciples, "Ye are my witnesses." A witness must have been there when something happened. He must have seen, he must have heard. Otherwise, he cannot be a true witness. And John writes, what we have seen and what we have heard and what our hands have handled of the word of life, this we declare unto you. Seen, heard, and even held in our hands. What a wonderful thing! Not just observers, but partakers of what God has given us by grace. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, we cannot all preach salvation and stand in the front, but we can all experience salvation and receive forgiveness of our sins. We know at Pentecost, a Peter preached, and there were probably 3,000 souls that were added. The greatest thing about preaching is when you get to see people come to Jesus Christ. And you all know, when I go to all these countries and I come to a church and I see unbelieving people sitting there, I cannot present the deep mysteries of the Word of God to these people. They must first be shown the way to Christ, to the cross. And then, finally, what God has done in this time is also added. There were about 3,000 people. I just mentioned the number of Peter who heard the word of the Lord in the past weeks. And on a Sunday morning, something happened to me that God alone is able to judge. Again, the service was arranged in a Methodist church, and it is so in these countries, that when someone comes, everyone is called together, and then it is decided where this lecture or service should take place. And I went to the service that Sunday morning without having a word. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to bring them?" And I opened up the Bible here and there, and nothing seemed to go to my heart in any way or be revealed by the Spirit. And do you know what happened there? Right after singing the song, these people recited the creed together. And I haven't recited it for many years. But in my day, even in the Protestant church, they had the phrase, I believe in a holy, universal, apostolic church. And here they prayed, I believe in a holy, apostolic, Catholic church. And when this prayer was going on, you can imagine that I didn't have to look for any text. Immediately after this profession of faith, I was called to bring the word. And I will tell you what the first scripture I read was from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 51, verse 7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. That was the first Bible text I read there. And I didn't care if this man suddenly tapped me on the shoulder or not. It all really didn't matter to me at that moment. And I knew that it was not my business, it was God's business. And I couldn't help but proclaim the pure truth. And I told the people, the way back is not to Rome, but to Jerusalem. There where the beginning was. I can't repeat it all here today, but you've probably never seen people walk out of a church after the Amen as quickly as they did there. All the other times I was asked to go to the exit and shake hands with everyone. Here I didn't have to shake anyone's hand. They were all out before I got to the exit. But they took God's word with them once and for all. I am convinced of that. And I'm also convinced that there were people sitting among this large number who listened, who have come or will come to the faith. How are these people supposed to know the truth if it has never been preached to them? You can well understand when I say that we should be grateful that God has opened our eyes and anointed us to see through the religious deception in this time. And Babylon, they want to heal. You all know, this scripture goes on to say, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so, be she may be healed. And now comes the verse. We would have healed Babylon, but no healing is possible. If healing were possible for Babylon, we would gladly proclaim it and believe it. There is no healing possible for Babylon, but all who come out of Babylon are healed by the power of our God and set free from the error in which they are bound and captivated. Our God is a glorious God. Yes, we wanted to heal Babylon. They are busy and want to bring salvation into Babylon. Didn't I talk to a man myself in Rome years ago, who was there when I was preaching in the church of Brother McTernan? And what was it? The Holy Spirit was to fall there too, namely in the Vatican. Friends, we wanted to heal Babylon, but it was not possible. Babylon is incurable and irredeemable. We have the task to let the call go out. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, so that you will not receive of her plagues. Here, we tried to heal Babylon, but it could not be healed. Forsake her, and let us go, everyone, into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. And then, verse 10, the Lord has brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Not in Babylon, but in Zion, in the city of the living God. There, where the people of God come together, that is called out of Babylon. There we have been given light and salvation and grace. And here we want to offer the thanks due to our God. The Lord has brought forth the righteousness of our cause. Our cause is His cause. We have become a part of His work. The Lord has brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Even if we wanted to declare it in Babylon, they cannot hear. Only those can hear who have heard the call of God, as a Saul heard it. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou that I should do? So every child of God who has heard the divine call must come to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And with that moment, our will is put into the will of God. And then we can declare in Zion the work of the Lord, our God. Beloved, God is a faithful, a true, a gracious God. And He lets the final call go forth, and that in all lands, to call out. Only when the calling out has taken place, the final things will take place among those who are called out. Everything else is nothing but empty talk, and things are taken out of context. Let us proclaim the work of our God in Zion. For He has given us light, not because we are better than others, but because before the foundation of the world, He had chosen us to behold His glory. That is why He spoke to us. That is why we heard His call and received His message and went out to bear the reproach of the Lord outside the camp. May God bless us together. Help us and put His cause even more on our hearts, that we may shortly be able to penetrate to the ends of the earth with this glorious message, which is becoming more and more precious to me. Oh, what God has done in this time to help us and show us the right way. Let us not only thank Him, but do all we can to call others and tell them what the Lord has done. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. I don't have time to continue reading this text, but verse 21 says, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." That was the plan of God in the beginning. That is the plan of God in the end. The farthest countries, all nations, shall hear what God has done in this time. May the Lord bless you abundantly, and may He save who is not yet saved, and heal who needs healing, and bless who asks blessing from Him. He is present to do this by grace, for thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. By the grace of our God, we may have a small part in what God is doing at this time, and for that we are grateful to Him. May He bless you all by grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, together we come to the throne of grace and thank you from the bottom of our hearts that the veil has been torn. O faithful Lord, our Savior, when you died on Golgotha and cried out, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The way was free. All could understand that you were in the Holy of Holies. And now the entrance was free. O God, you know the hearts of those who lifted up their hands. Savior, we want biblical conversions. O God, becoming a believer as at the beginning, that your gospel may become the power of God in the lives and hearts of all who believe in you. Beloved Lord, transform us. Make all things new. Forgive, O God. Let us not go on as we have gone on until now. May your grace be mighty upon us and in us. And may your Holy Spirit and your precious blood do a deep work of grace in us all. For we want to stand our ground before you when you come again. We want to be ready when you call your own to go up into your glory. Beloved Lord, give us grace. Give it to me, to all those who had lifted up their hands, and to all of us. Lord, we lay ourselves before you. Accept us as we are, and bless us. I thank you, O God, in this place, for the past 3 weeks, for all the meetings, for every soul that has been saved, for all the people that have been reached, O God, who have heard your word, the message for this time. Bless them all. May your word not return void, and bless us in this place. Reward everyone, O God. Unite us in spirit and in prayer, in the first divine love, with you and with each other, Lord, that you may reveal yourself and feel at home in our midst. O Lord, look upon us in grace and bless us from the riches of thy grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.